And Georgia Paul Radio entering the home stretch for this Friday. Public service announcement. Georgia Paul Radio will not be making its regularly scheduled appearance next Friday. So really, really, really enjoy this segment. But all of us that do this every week with Sully, who's kind enough to give us this studio, have decided we're going to be pretty much anywhere else next week. So we decided rather than trying to force something else on you, we're just going to take a week off, and hopefully y'all be enjoying after Sully's show, the Masters, and also get a little bit of downtime. We'll be back with you in 2 weeks, assuming the phone calls that are coming in from our last two segments do not prohibit us from returning to this building. With that said, one of our, I believe it was Anthony Christ, found something in the new UGA orientation packet for campus carry at the University of Georgia, where looks like they're already prepared and fully expecting this to be signed into law. So
yeah, it definitely floating around the internet. Basically, UGA produces every year a sort of a things you need to do for orientation, things that the incoming students need to know. And they're the general stuff that you might expect, like, for instance, memorizing your Social Security number. But there's a new one they've added here, number 5, and it appears to say that you need to protect yourself while in school, which is obviously good advice. And then their secondary advice is, be advised, Georgia law now allows firearms on campus. You may wish to purchase a bulletproof vest before you arrive at UGA. And I think that's because there's just not a huge supply in Athens, and so they want to make sure people are actually bringing them from wherever they're coming from, as opposed to depleting the local supply as this law goes into effect. But what's really interesting is we don't know that this law is going to effect. Governor Deal is looking at House Bill 859 to decide whether or not he's allowed guns on campus. 4 out of 5 Georgians are against this proposal, but there's a lot of momentum for it, even with the daycare problems that it has. So it's going to be very interesting to see whether this happens. But the real question here is, does UGA know something that we don't? Since they put this up on their orientation page to tell people to buy bulletproof vests, do they know that Deal is going to sign it? What do you guys think?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how it seems to be they're bulky. I don't know if you've ever put on a bulletproof vest,
yeah.
But you know, they don't normally, you know, it's not the kind of thing you're going to wear under your polo. But I'm thinking, as rigid as they are, it might actually help with a keg stand.
Oh, that's a very good point.
So you know, that's kind of my original thought on that. Well, you know, let's be honest, most freshmen can't dance anyway, so yeah. It might actually keep them from making a fool of themselves, because learning how to dance and learning how to drink should never be done at the same time. Don't ask me how I know this, but Funky Cold Medina, Tone Loc was the general song from my freshman orientation in 1987, when I arrived as a student on campus at the University of Georgia. So good times, good times. John, what else is going on?
Just to transition off the campus carry bill, there's a real question out there with what will Governor Deal do? And the veto of the religious liberty bill has really gotten a number of people upset. Not only, I think, the people you would expect, but a good number of people in Georgia, a good number of Georgians who don't see why such an innocuous-looking bill would be vetoed. And now, if he were to veto campus carry, he would then add kind of a double insult to the people of Georgia, and that concerns people. He doesn't have to run again, so that's good for him, but he also wants to get some bills passed, and especially the upcoming Opportunity School District legislation that people will be voting on in November. There was going to be, and probably still is planned to be, a big PR campaign now that session is over to get people to vote for that, and there have been threats in the media that says, you know, we're gonna organize something so that doesn't pass.
Well, I'll flip back to the roofer part. I think on campus carry, he's a governor that's going to just make his own decision about what he thinks is best, and if he thinks it can come back next year with a few minor corrections, he might veto it. I think the odds are he probably does not, but he made some very specific objections to the bill, and it's usually easier to get those taken out before it's in law than to have someone come back and actually pass a bill that removes or puts additional restrictions on the Second Amendment. So we'll see how he does with that. But I just want to go back to the roofer thing and some of the things I've seen specifically coming out of members of both staff of the Georgia Republican Party and the Georgia Baptist, I believe it's the Mission Board that hires their lobbyist. But I've seen people openly circulating a thing that questions if Nathan Deal is a Baptist. And well, let's be clear, I'm not a Baptist. I was raised Methodist, attend Anglican Church at the moment. probably going back to Methodist, but, you know, I'm Protestant, but I'm not a Baptist. Baptists have always done things their own way. They're the largest Protestant denomination in the state of Georgia and kind of have the prevailing wisdom that what they believe should be what all believe and should be codified in law. But to turn around and call a man that has been a deacon at his church for decades, a Sunday school teacher for decades, has attended the same Bible study group for, I think, 30 or 40 years, he's not exactly a guy that shows up on Easter Sunday and waves at everybody and kisses a baby and leaves kind of thing for a photo op. This is a guy that's been an integral part of his church and is ultimately charged with doing what is best for the state of Georgia. He doesn't have to pander to the people that clearly decided to push an issue over the fears of what some people perceive are rights being taken away from them. As he said in his signing statement, that bill didn't really seem to accomplish any of the objectives that the people were saying that needed to be done. He did say he was willing to sign the Pastor Protection Act had it been there. Still not really sure that's needed, but it had almost no opposition, but it was things added to the bill that seemed to cause problems other than not. But one of the things he said in that bill that goes back to what John was asking, what does he do next and what does he do next year? I believe if I remember him in his statement, he said something to the effect of that people should know that threats and intimidation are not the way to get him to do things. And he was specifically talking about that he wasn't responding because of the boycotts, that he wasn't doing that. But that's something people do know about this governor. He's a guy that's ultimately going to do what he believes is right. And if you try to threaten him, it doesn't usually end well for you, because at that point it does kind of, if a tie is going to go to something, this is just, he's just not a guy that you want to threaten. He's going to do what he thinks is right. And the people that are doing this way, if I was a Baptist, I would be embarrassed at some of the people, the way they are carrying on behalf of the name of their church. Again, we just got out of Easter weekend. I saw a tweet or Facebook post from someone on Monday morning, or Monday afternoon, because the veto was Monday morning, that said, we're less than 24 hours from the miracle of Easter, and all of that feeling is completely lost based on the response of that. And this was a week where Christians could have put themselves in a very decent light to people that do not agree with them, and instead decided to go exactly the other way. And if you were not a Christian watching this battle over religious freedom, I don't know that anyone was given any reason to consider becoming one based on the way these supposed Christians have acted on this bill. And that's my two cents from it. So what will the governor do? I don't know. He's the governor, and he's got to do what he thinks is the best for Georgia. And he's still got one more veto, but, you know, we'll come back in January. People have gone through campaigns. Some of the edge will be taken off by most of the people. Senator Kirk has already said he's not going to follow up as a sponsor for next year. So if there's a bill, there will be a bill, and I think there will be a bill that will be passed, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if there's a religious freedom bill signed by the governor. But yeah, I have a feeling it will be with brand-new sponsors, and it will look a lot more like the Pastor Protection Act and a lot less like the First Amendment or whatever it's called.
Right, First Amendment Defense Act. I mean, this was part of the problem in the way that the bill was presented, and I think it was, you know, on both sides. The original effort, as you may remember, was to pass a version of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which simply says it sets up a standard for how to judge a religious liberty case in terms of what you got to prove. There's no discrimination in that bill as it is now. What got confusing was that they added portions of the Pastor Protection Act, and especially the First Amendment Defense Act, admittedly watered down from the first version that Senator Kirk introduced, but it was presented to the people to an extent as just being a RFRA that exists in all of these other states when it actually did more. And, of course, the other side positioned it as being a license to discriminate, and I don't think it was that either. And in the end, it really didn't change that much in terms of what Georgia law is today.
Well, we've got pretty much a minute left of the show. Stephen, you want to jump in with something on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think about that is, I think at this point the well is so poisoned, it almost doesn't matter. And what I mean by that is, like, yeah, you can look at the Religious Freedom Bill and say, okay, what is it doing? What doesn't it do? The problem is when the sponsor goes to the well and says, this is a reaction against gay people being allowed to marry by the Supreme Court, it doesn't really matter what's in the bill at that point. And that's kind of where we're at now.
That was the Kirk press conference that he gave a week and a half ago. We spent the first half of it talking about evils of gay.
He won't be the sponsor next year. So I think he realizes that probably wasn't the best thing to say that morning. At least I hope he does, because that's supposedly, everyone said this bill isn't about that up until the point you say that it is.
I totally agree with that. But I think at the same time, it's like if you look at the way in which, say, the Georgia flag was changed in the 50s, you've got a similarity there where people are saying there's a pretextual analysis that's different than what is really going on.
Well, next week is Masters Week. It's a very special week in the week of Georgia. It's also spring break for some people. And most of us are not going to be here. Some of us are doing staycation and some of us are vacation. But we hope you enjoy next week with Sully. Coming up in the next hour, I believe he's got Rick Limpert and all kinds of good things. But Sully will get you home the next hour. Sully will take care of both hours next Friday. And then we at Georgia Paul Radio will see you again in 2 weeks. So appreciate the time we have spent together today. Y'all get out there. Have a great week. Those of you south of here, be careful with the weather. Georgia Paul Radio will return in 2 weeks on 640 AM WGST.